with Ms. Ruth Angel, July 22nd, 1988. I'd like to thank you very much for taking part in the Northfield Oral History Project. And let's start with your early childhood. I noticed that you were not born in Northfield. Where were you born?
I was born in Redford, Michigan, July 5th, 1915, on a farm that Grandpa Angel owned on Grand River, right across from Grand Lawn Cemetery.
How big a farm was it?
Land, I don't know. It reached from Grand River to 7 Mile and that. And then in the spring of 1916, he bought a farm at 8 Mile in Napier for my father. So we moved up on the farm.
It was 8 Mile in Napier in Salem? What was that?
I suppose it, I don't know if it's Novi Township or what. It was on the northeast corner of Napier and 8 Mile. Novi Township, I think, probably was. So then they farmed until the spring of 1926, when our father passed away. And then mother was left at age 38 with three kids to raise, and three children, I should say, and 80 acres. So my sister was ready for high school. So she had this house built, and that's where we've been ever since.
So your family is the only family that's lived in this home?
Pardon?
Your family is the only family that's lived in this home?
Mother had the house built. She paid $1,200 for the lot, had the house built for $7,500, material and labor. So price has gone up a bit since then. So this is just, we kids all finished high school. And my sister got married, my brother got married, but I never did.
So you're the youngest of the three?
I was in the middle.
In the middle. You have an older sister and a younger
sister? My sister's older. She lives in Royal Oak. She's a widow. And my brother lives down on Meadowbrook Road, and he's a carpenter at Schoolcraft College.
Oh, and what are their names?
Angel. John and Jean.
John and Jean. No, I know their last names.
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, John and Jean. And he's been there. It'll be 17 years next month that he's been a carpenter over there.
Oh.
And he's retirement age but doesn't want to retire. So...
What are some of the first things you remember about moving to Northville when you were 11 years old?
Well, there was lots of children in the neighborhood then. And in, let's see, 1928 was when they first paved our street. We had lots of fun roller skating.
Were most of the other streets paved, or was that just because Katie was...
Just the main streets, I guess. The side street wasn't, I don't think. Roger Street, I don't know if that was or not. Don't remember.
So there was a paving project in town, you think, in 1920?
I don't know.
Were most of the other houses in this neighborhood also built in that same time period, or some of them?
They were all here, but this one next door when we came.
So they're all older then?
All older, yeah. And this one right next door was built by a Civil War veteran. I see, what else is there?
You said that your father had died. Did he die in a farming accident, or did he have a...
He and his father were spraying the orchard. And in those days, you got a barrel of spray material, and that there was some other poison in that barrel of spray. Because all they could put, Dr. Atchison's father was his doctor, Dr. R.E. Atchison, and all they could do was put blood poisoning on the death certificate. But in those days, you didn't go off to a hospital, you didn't do this and that. But then his father died 5 days later.
They both died as a result of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they both were owners on the farm?
My father.
Your father owned the farm and your grandfather?
Yeah, it was his father.
Was his wife still living too? Your grandmother?
Yeah.
So did she come to live with you here, or did she?
She lived down on at 324 South Wing.
Oh, so she had moved into town too?
They had moved up from Redford in 1923.
Mm-hmm. So did you come to visit her before you moved into town?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Me too. Mm-hmm. Yes, and then too, this house wasn't, we didn't move in here until 17th of November. And so my sister and I stayed with Grandma Angel and just went back home on the weekend.
And you were staying here so you could go to school? Mm-hmm. What you're doing? What kind of memories do you have of your early schooling in Northville when you first started school?
Well, I started here in the fifth grade, and I went right straight through graduation in the old high school building. That's all there was then, right, grade school, high school. Well, there was another school building that had the lower grades, but I went right from the fifth right through graduation.
And all of the school buildings were right here, only a few blocks away from you.
The old high school was the one, and then there was one south of that burned.
And that's when we went to grade school?
I didn't go in there, my brother did. Mm-hmm. But they started the fifth grade in the other high school.
In the building that was the high school. Mm-hmm. And the building that was the high school is the one that they used for the Board of Education offices now? Or is that the other building? It's the other building. It's the
other
street.
The one farther, next to the the old dark colored brick one.
Dark colored. Mm-hmm. Can you remember any of your teachers or any of the friends you had?
My first teacher here, I think, was Francis Stewart, I think, in the fifth grade. And then in the sixth grade, I had Olive Eldon, who had also been my teacher in the grade school or country school on 8 Mile. And I had a Mrs. Phillips, who was Yvonne Rawlings' mother. Then when we got up into seventh grade, and I come through, then there was quite a few teachers. This was Chapman, was one of my teachers. Ione Palmer was a teacher. Of course, Mr. Ammerman I can remember when he came here in 1928 as principal. And Thad Knapp was one of the superintendents. We had a Mr. Gordon. Just going back too far.
Well, that's pretty good. What kind of classes did you take in high school?
Just the regular courses. And Latin. I had a year of Latin, a year of French from Ione Palmer, and there was only 48 in our graduation class, and we have had our 25th, 35th, 45th, and 50th class reunions, and next year we'll have our 55th.
Mm-hmm. Are many of the graduates still in the area? Or?
No, not too many. One girl, Vera Buckles, down on Horton, Ethel Hartner on Horton. Ethel Hartner, where her name is now, and Vera's name was Horsfall, her maiden name. Trying to think who else, well, Albert Parmenter. I really don't think there's any others.
How many of the graduates still come back for the reunions? How big are
they? Well, there's 16 of them that have passed away. And if we're lucky, if we have 15 or 16, probably, I could tell if I go and get my list.
About half of those.
Probably half of the remaining ones. And they came, last time they came from California. One girl came from California. I think she was the farthest away.
Who were some of your friends in high school?
High school?
Yeah. Or grade school? Some of your school friends. Or,
oh gosh, most all the class kids.
Everybody.
I don't think I had any real special one.
What kind of things did you and your classmates do for recreation or entertainment?
I think we studied. I don't know. Well, like I say, we roller skated part of the time. And then in those days, too, we had the old Wayne County Fair. And so that was something to go to every year before it got turned into the racetrack. I don't know if we did much, but sometimes the whole neighborhood would congregate out here on the driveway and we'd play spin the bottle or something like that and come in the house when it got dark and move the dining room table. And we had a piano at that time. One of the girls would play the piano and we'd play musical chair. I just wonder it didn't drive Mother crazy.
You may have. What kind of things, you mentioned the Wayne County Fair, what kind of things you remember they used to have at the Wayne County Fair?
At the fair?
Yeah.
Oh, lots of things. Animals. All the animals, like, and then the farm produce displays. And Mother used to raise vegetables when we were still on the farm. My father would exhibit the grain and things like that. Mother would take vegetables that she had raised. And then we'd come down from the farm every afternoon, go to the fair, go home and do the chores, come back at night and see the program or whatever was out in front on the grandstand. We watched the fireworks.
They have fireworks every night?
I think they did, pretty much so. Mm-hmm.
Did you have, when you used to do that, did you have a car on the farm at that time? Or did you have to come in a horse and buggy?
I think we had a 1914 Ford.
1914.
That was the first car I know that we had. But before that, when we used to come down to town in a horse, buggy, or sleigh, if it was wintertime, and leave the horse in a barn here in town, and then we'd take the streetcar and go down to Redford to Grandma Angel's.
And the streetcar you could pick up right in the center of Northville?
Yeah, right in the center of town. Then they go down by the Ford factory and over to 8 Mile, 8 Mile to Grand River and on down. So we'd get off right in front of Grandma's house. Yeah, folks, I don't know, that's a long time ago to ride those, but it was fun. I said when I went downtown a couple of years ago and we went on the people mover, and that was not exciting, no more than going on the streetcar.
What can you remember about life in Northville in the 1920s and the 1930s?
Well, see, we came in 1926, here.
Right.
It was just a nice little country town. And, in those years you probably saw most everybody you knew. You knew everybody you saw. And then, as it expanded, you didn't know everybody.
That was one of the big changes you noticed then, that you stopped knowing everybody.
Mm. Of course, in the Depression, when the banks closed, that wasn't very good either. And then, I think then some of the folks that wouldn't speak to you before got so they would. I shouldn't say that.
Was there kind of a class difference between people who...
I suppose maybe there was, because there were some that thought they were a little bit better than some of the common folks. I wouldn't want to mention any names.
Yeah, that's probably wise.
No.
Do you think that's gone away now, for the most part? Or?
Everybody's friendly now, except there's so many strangers in town, you don't know them. Because we used to be able to go uptown and speak to most everybody we saw. Mm-hmm. Now you can't.
Can you remember any of the local businesses, any of the local business people?
Did I know him?
Or, yeah. Well, can you remember any stories?
Oh.
Any names?
Well, there was one man that ran the dry goods store, Mr. White. And for that matter, there is a picture somewhere in the historical village that Mother gave to him that he had given to her. We came down from the farm. It was near Christmas time. And he was a painter, or had done oil paintings. So he had three pictures. And then he asked her which one she liked best. So she picked out this picture of a stone wall with a little old barn, run-down barn or shack, shed or some sort behind it. And so she told him she liked that the best. So he said, well, Merry Christmas. So that we have given to the Historical Society. And then there was Mr. Ponsford that had the store, clothing store. We used to go in there to shop. And let me think. Oh, Don Ware's mother had a sort of a candy and ice cream store.
Where was that located?
On the north side of Main Street, right along, pretty much near where the theater of 5 and 10 cent store is, I think.
And the clothing store was on the south side of the
south
street?
Side, where Lapin's store is now.
And what about the dry goods store?
That was right along there. It was on the south side of Main Street, too, if I remember. Oh dear, who else was in business? Elliot's Bakery was there for quite a while. Brader's store was up on North Center. And of course, Schrader's had been here a long time. Because Schrader's store, well, Mr. Schrader, old Nelson Schrader, had the funeral parlor too at that time, at the time my father and grandfather died. Well, let's see what else. Oh, Ambler's Hotel was on this corner, on the southwest corner of Center and Main. I think we used to go in there to get an ice cream cone.
Do you remember the fire that destroyed that?
Pardon?
Do you remember the fire that destroyed that hotel?
I think so. I remember the fire when these factories down at the end of Katy Street burned.
When would that have been?
I remember when the grade school burned, because we stood here in the kitchen window and watched it.
You had a good view of it.
Oh, and it was cold that morning. Oh, gee.
Do you remember what year the grade school fire was? In the 30s, you think?
Well, like I say, we came in 26. And my brother was in school there part of the time, I think. I know he started school in that building. I don't know what year it was.
Do you have any idea when the fire at the factories might have been?
Mm-hmm. Then they had a big fire on Main Street. I think that was in the Chevrolet garage.
And the Chevrolet garage was
on Main Street.
Where the Manx building is now?
Well, along where, as near as I can remember, along where Harold Bloom's insurance office is. And there was a barber shop, Mr. Heatley's barber shop. Bruce Turnbull's father-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And that was on the north side of Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I think that burned before we came to town. I'm not sure about that.
What?
No, I know it didn't. It burned after we came to town.
What is that, the burn?
This is what I just told you about, the Chevrolet garage.
Oh, the Chevy
garage. And that barbershop.
That was very shortly after you came to town. Mm-hmm. Well, you've done a good job remembering the businesses in downtown. I noticed that you've been active in some organizations in town. Do you have any?
I used to belong to the DPW. I belong to King's Daughters and the Senior Citizens, of course. And in August of 1955, I started working in the accounting office at the Marco State Hospital. And I retired the 7th of February, 1979.
Do you have any stories from Northwest State Hospital?
Not that I'd want to tell.
Was the 55, how long has that hospital been there? Is that?
I think they brought the first patients in 51, I think.
So you were one of the first employees?
Not really, because some of the first ones rode bulldozers and walked planks to get in across the mud and all that, but it was pretty well set up when I got there. But it wasn't a bad place to work as far as that goes. Because we had, in the earlier years I was there, they had some patients that could come in and help with typing or filing or little things like that. Then when I retired, they had a party to Plymouth Hilton for me.
Between the time you graduated from high school and the time you started working at Northville State Hospital, did you do anything else?
Nothing. I was, before I started, well, for let's see, April, May, June, about 5 months, I was part-time help at the Ford Garage, Ford Sales and Service.
That was right before you started?
Before I went to the hospital to work. But before that, I guess, I don't know, I must have goofed off.
Stay home and helped your mother?
I was here, that's all the time I've been. Oh, I've been right here.
How long have you been a member of the King's Daughters?
Oh, mercy. Yvonne Rawlings could tell me right off the bat, I think, because she has all those dates in her book.
What kind of things does the organization do? Do you have regular meetings?
But the King's Daughters?
Yeah, King's Daughters.
Well, they work with the poor people at Thanksgiving and Christmas time, hand out baskets and like that. And then we do a lot of work for Mott's Children's Hospital out Ann Arbor. The women knit, crochet, or whatever, and then we buy things for the children, coloring books, crayons, things like that. And it's more a service club than anything, really. And so many of the older ones are passing on, and there isn't so many of the newer ones, younger ones, joining, although we do have some new members. So it's just a good group to belong to. A lot of them in there that I've known for years.
Where do they have a building in town? Or do they
meet? We meet up at the Methodist Church.
One of the churches. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is it affiliated with the church at all? Or just the meetings are just held there? It's not somehow affiliated with the Methodist Church?
No.
No. Just hold the meetings.
No, we just use the room. And then we have potluck dinners at the beginning of the season. In the summertime, we don't have meetings. And then in January and February, we don't, because it's too dangerous for the older folks to get out and on the ice. I'm getting so I'm one of them. I don't like to walk on the ice.
I think many people do.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me the most memorable community event that you can recall to you?
What a have we had, I wonder? I think, was it in 1927 when they had the 100th? I can remember some of that. I know we came to it or was uptown to it because we were here in town. But I don't know what they did they had speakers, I guess. The old City Hall then was on the corner.
There was a street? There was a corner? It was on the corner of what?
Where the City Hall is now was the old City Hall.
So the street went through at that time?
Main Street did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know what else has happened that's real exciting.
You don't remember any of the speakers at the Centennial?
I don't.
Do you remember anything about the parade?
No, I didn't. I probably have the old Northfield record that has all the things in it. I'm pretty sure I do. I have a bunch of old papers up in the attic that I'm going to have to move with me because I'm not going to part with them. And undoubtedly in that Northfield book that Jack Hoffman wrote, it would tell probably quite a bit about it. But other than going to the fair and that, there wasn't much excitement that we went to. Maybe the show once in a while.
There was a theater in town? Okay.
I don't know when that started, but we used to go up to the show.
Where the marquee is now.
Penniman Allen Theater, I guess is what was called then. Bruce or somebody can help you with.
We're trying to get the individual memories of all.
Yeah,
all
but I mean as far as dates and that.
Yeah. In more recent times, because you mentioned earlier, Bruce always talks about the airplane crash, which happened in your own backyard. Would you like to tell me a little bit?
8th of May, 1959. Mm-hmm. And we weren't home, thank goodness. I'd taken the afternoon off from work. Mother and I had gone to Plymouth. So when we came home, I couldn't get up Katy Street. So I went down Wayne Street, back to Fairbrook, came up First Street. So here was fire engines, police cars, people. And as we got nearer to this street, Mother said, well, the house is on fire. I said, no, it isn't. There's no smoke. And that, so then they did let me in with my car. And that, well, out here in the driveway was just all fragments of steel or metal. If my car had been sitting there, it probably looked like it had smallpox. But we were just fortunate that we weren't here. Because if we had have been and heard the noise that everybody tells us there was, we'd have rushed right to the back door and I had it right in my face.
And your porch did burn, right?
Pardon?
Your porch did burn.
A little bit. Mrs. Coles put out one little fire. And then, of course, the firemen were here to put out the little spots on the roof that were burning. But we were just lucky.
And there was, if I remember correctly, there was the one injury, was a little boy that was playing.
The two children.
They were both injured.
Two of the King children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there were no fatalities, it was just the two injuries.
No, because the pilot bailed out over in the park. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the next day, I think we had people, hundreds and hundreds of people here just to look at the damage and that. And of course I had at that time 165 kinds of bearded iris which got burned, soaked with oil and that. And our strawberry bed was just white with blossom. We'd have had 100 quarts if we'd have had one quart. That was all gone. course, the government paid us for some of it. So that was the end of my iris collection. I never got started again.
Did they ever say why the pilot downloaded the airplane and let it
crash into the city? The story went that he had what they call a stick lock. He had no control, nothing.
So he couldn't move it away from
the city. He'd have probably been killed if he'd have landed or stayed with it. But that's all the real damage it did. It missed all the wires and everything out here, which was a miracle. Because it came straight down instead of coming that way, it was right straight down.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the biggest changes that you can see in the community over the past 60 years?
All the new subdivisions and houses. Every side you look at, they're building and that. And of course, larger houses and what are here, a lot of them. And the apartments, and condos.
When you first moved here in the 1920s, I judge from reading that there was another building boom. This was not the only new house being built in the area. So what we have now, do you see another increase in the size of the community? Or?
You mean right around here? Around this? Or?
Now it'll be a bigger community, but at the time that you moved in, there were other people building houses.
Oh, I suppose so. But not in this neighborhood, because there's no space for them, except this one next door. That was built in 1955. Because there was nothing. Graham Ambler's house was next to this one, next to the schoolyard. She lived there for quite a while after we lived here. She had three granddaughters that lived with her, so we were together quite a bit.
Is that why you call her Grandma Ambler? Because you pronounce her name?
She's Grandma Ambler to everybody.
Was she the wife of the man that had built the Ambler Hotel?
No.
Daughter?
Thelma Ambler Schultz. It was her folks that had the hotel.
So the Grandma Ambler, you know, she was a relative then, but she was...
Her husband was a relative, I guess, of all. Because a lot of these houses around here were built by some of the Amblers, but I don't know which one. And then... But of course they tore her house down, so that's just a vacant lot now.
That's the house that they tore down because they were going to make the bus turn around for the schools?
I think so. They had ideas. Now we hear that some doctor, a dentist, has bought it and they're going to move a house there, but mm-hmm. I don't know.
A big house on the school?
If it's that one down Katy Street, yeah. They'll have to do a lot of fixing.
What would you like to see come back that's gone?
What have I?
Like to see come back to Northville that's gone.
I'm sure if they had a fair come back, it wouldn't be like the old Wayne County Fair. We used to go up to the fish hatchery sometimes to look at the fish ponds or whatever they call them. I really don't know.
Think of a thing.
Because we stayed home. Well, we had no car. We had no way of getting anyplace. Only to take the streetcar, or then when the buses started running between here and Redford, but we could go on the bus.
How many years did they run buses between Rockville and Rockford? A lot of
time. I have no idea.
Do you remember when they stopped?
Mr. Biddle used to have the bus company. At least, I suppose he owned it. I don't know. We always called it Biddle's Buses anyhow.
And they were operating in the 30s?
Yeah, it must have been. I would think so. I don't know when the streetcar stopped running. But it would have to be in that Marco book somewhere, I would think. I still haven't read that book. I thought maybe when I retired I'd sit down and read, but I haven't yet. I'll have to wait until I get moved before I have any spare time.
Do you think you're going to miss the house that you've lived in for so many years?
My what?
Going to miss the house that you've lived in?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. Just, I think I'm going to be glad to get in something smaller than that. That's what I think now. Maybe when it comes right down to the nitty gritty, but I don't think so. I don't know why I don't think I'm going to feel bad, but I don't think I will. Because there's so many people up there to Allen Terrace that I know that there's no way I'm going to be lonesome. I'll see more people than I do right here.
Can you think of any other people, places, or things that we haven't talked about that you might like to share?
You mean of the older homes around here or something?
Sure.
Well, when we moved here, Frank Hill and George Hill lived up here where Mrs. Coles lives now. And Frank Hill had a son, George Hill had a daughter that used to come down here and be with the rest of the neighborhood kids. And I can't think who came in there after they moved. There's been a couple different families in there, I think, before Mrs. Coase came, but they've been there quite a long time. There's been several families across the street. When we came here, some of the Castromines lived there. I'm trying to think which one. It wasn't. It was Ray Castromine's parents. I don't know what his first name was. He wasn't there. I don't think the mother was, and some of the brothers or sisters of old Ray. And it has changed hands quite a few times. And then, of course, this house next door when we moved here was Mrs. Rowe and her two maiden daughters. And I have a doll bed that their father made. And it has the square nails in it. And just all made by hand. But they wanted me to have it before they passed on. And so it's antique. Real antique. Mm-hmm. And then that house has changed hands a few times. Well, the little house on the corner has changed hands. The one across to the middle of the block there has. Back of us, they've all changed hands. We've stayed put.
think, can you think of anything else you might like to tell?
Well, you've got the airplane crash. I'm seeing, mother was 99 years and December 15th, January, February, March, April, almost 5 months old. She would have been 100 in December. So she probably was the oldest person in Northville.
Probably.
We kind of figured that she was.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way of finding out any. I don't know how you'd go about finding out. But we kind of thought she was.
Did she ever tell you any stories as you got older of things that, you know, interesting stories about her growing up and her childhood?
You mean before we came here?
Yeah.
Well, she taught country school for 3 years before she got married.
And where was that? In Redford?
Down Redford.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was born and raised in Redford?
She was born in Redford, so was my father.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see one of those articles from the historical paper that they wrote up about Mother?
Yes.
Because it gives her a pretty good history of that. No, she used to tell about walking to school, and building her own fire, doing her own janitor work. And
there was no help at all besides the teacher.
She was it.
And then when you started school out in Novi Township, you went to a one-room school?
We went to the country, the little, what is it, William Allen Academy or something, up there on 8 Mile. So we walked to school, and Don Miller's sister was my first school teacher. Helen Miller.
Is that school, I'm not familiar with it, still there now? Do you call it the William Academy? Is it?
Yeah.
It is still, they're still using it as the
But there's, they built on to the original school, and then there's some more other, a couple other little buildings, I think, there too.
Mm.
And my sister and I went back a few years ago when they had a reunion, and there was a few that we knew there, but of course there was more of the current parents there too that we never saw before, but some of the old-timers were there. But we walked to school, even waded the snowbanks and didn't get bused to school in those days.
And then when you moved to town, you didn't have very far to walk, right?
No, just across the... Before they built this wall around the schoolyard and filled it in, it used to be a nice hill. Of course, we didn't have to worry about cars much in those days, so we'd start up back of the school, come down across here and go down First Street on our sleds.
Oh, that reminds me. Do you remember the, a lot of people who have lived in there for a long time talk about the sledding on Buckner Hill?
On Buckner Hill?
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
No, that was before you came here? Or?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Mrs. Buckner was one of Mother's school teachers. I've heard her tell that.
Mm-hmm. I always wondered how they could do that with the traffic. So it was probably before there were very many cars.
It was horse and buggies.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think one story goes that somebody went right between the horse's legs one time and kept on going down. I don't know who told that, whether it was true or not. Oh, dear.
What about the ski jump that Northville was always known for? Do you remember?
The what?
The ski jump that would have been over the other side of the racetrack. In Hines Park, you don't remember that at all? I'd like to thank you very much for
giving
me your time.
I can't think of anything. The airplane crash was the worst thing that ever happened.
How long did it take you after the crash to get your house back in order?
You see, all it really did, besides the spots on the roof that were burned, all it really did was knock the curtain rod off on one end, mm-hmm. on the back door.
Mm.
We were just so lucky. Mm-hmm. Because one of the pieces of the airplane went across the street, went through their front window, landed under the TV, but it didn't burn. Another part was, part of the seat, I think it was in a tree over on the east side of this lot next door to us.
Was that on a school, yeah, you said it was me, was that a school day, right?
So they were having grade school at the time.
And that was so close to the school.
And the one bus driver said he almost froze because he had a busload of kids. And,
mm-hmm. But he wasn't too far away from the school.
No, that was right when school was getting out. Well, could have been a terrible thing if he'd have come in on a slant. Mm-hmm. But wasn't to be.
Well, again, I would like to thank you.
Well, I hope it's turned out all right.